also had the kingdom through whom he's trying to work out, you know, issues of efficiency in the department, and also a youth forum that must also be inculcated into the idea of strengthening the vision of the department, where they are actively involved in ensuring entrenchment of professionalism, development, and maintenance of appropriate leadership within the government. And in this light as well, this is the spatial distribution of all these districts and medals, and the people that are found through their respective languages. And further, that map as well is also showing the spatial distribution. Here, Honorable Chair, this organogram here is through the 8 districts and 2 metros. We end up having 8 areas where our offices are found. And for your attention, we're supposed to have one director for each district or a metro. However, we have only 4 ever since I came into the program in 2012, early 2012. We haven't had an opportunity of getting funded posts for these other districts. Hence, here we are displaying one district being under case leadership of one of those DMOs. It's myself and the Director of Finance and Support, who is on sick leave. Mrs. Monique Lywing next to me is the one who will come through to assist us with the finance matter. And the footprint, this is how we are displaying to the honorable members, as we had indicated in the background, that we have 11 health facilities that are fully operational, printing birth certificates and sport, while 35 are not operational due to network challenges, accommodation challenges, with 8 facilities with 1 office and 3 points of entry. I think through your permission, Honorable Chair, this is where we are displaying the nature of our metros and districts. Now, to go through each and every detail, it will take us more time. I would wish to move over it. We'll go past it. Then to the operation, the birth registration, which is the cornerstone of the flagship of the department, through which the National Population Register is envisaged to be entered, rather than what we are trying now to discontinue, the LRB, late registration of birth. Through that national target of 750,000, the province is expected to contribute 94,725 in the quarter. We are expected to contribute 22,722, but we couldn't achieve that target, and reasons being that of connectivity, as the other provinces had indicated, missing some of the mothers during the weekend, and the accommodation withdrawal by Department of Health due to renovation. And one particular significant account to it is that for the past 2 financial years, the province would not achieve quarter one target. This is what we have observed. But at the end of the financial year, we would meet the annual target. Trends have shown that there is an increase of better registration between quarter two and quarter four, and low registration in the other quarters. Smart ID card is doing very well around the province. However, as we expected during the quarter to achieve 55,866, we couldn't achieve that target. We only came down to 52,167. And also the same account as given by the 2 other provinces. network challenges, the power outages, and the environment becoming emissions and just leave the office without being attended to. And also traveling distance to offices with smart ID cards, particularly the Eastern Cape being so rural-based. And also the payment of 140. Our clients, they will claim that, their own green barcode documents are still, in good condition, and they will find no reason, to spend another 140 rand for a reissue. The immigration target, with the 4 employers, we require to contribute annually. In this case, we only achieved 9 out of the projected 15. And the problem there being Operation Sierra, as it has been indicated, the complement that we have in the province had to go and enforce in the area around the region where there are programs of xenophobic attacks, and also the letters of good cause where the foreign nationals have failed to renew their permits. This also takes a great deal of time off the immigration officials where they're supposed to be engaging in areas like this of looking for these employers around. And also the insufficient capacity to survey all the local businesses as expected. The transgressors in the quarter were expected to come up with 391, at least as the province we managed to overachieve around that. The reason being Operation Sierra also contributed to the cause of our target. The detected undocumented foreigners within 30 days, we managed to achieve that. We undocumented foreigners transferred to Lilela within 20 calendar days. We didn't yet. We only got 79%. The reason being the bus that ferries the foreign nationals did not collect the deportees as arranged. As a result of the delay on the transfer of 14 deportees within the prescribed time frame. The regulatory measure in and out of the foreign nationals, in terms of the land port, this is what they are registering. Through CastleNet around the area of Matakien, the arrivals has been that much, and then the departures could be seen as below the number of foreigners arriving into the country. Telebridge is also displaying more or less, but of course we could see that with the departures, the number is slightly higher, depicting that the foreign nationals do leave, disembark and leave the country. At Uncle Snack and Rapidiso, we don't have home affairs there. And for your information, Honorable Chair, we have been Free State and Eastern Cape have been invited by Lesotho, the side of Lesotho, to discuss the possibility of closing down this port of entry, because it's almost passive. It is not regularly used. The port control statistics around maritime, this is what we have, the arrivals in the East London Harbour, vis-a-vis Port Elizabeth, and also the International Airport of PE. Yes.
You're saying that it is the police that are actually dealing with the passports and that?
With the passports and
that. Are working free across.
Yes, Home Affairs, because of the capacity issues, is not represented in those two facilities.
So the police are able to tell people to say cross.
There we do have our own ESCS, the movement control system, that they have been in that text to you without necessarily having a home affairs staff in the facility. This is what has been going on for quite a while.
So who hit the passport?
It's the police. Yes. The Port Elizabeth ever since 2011 is no longer taking any new applications, but processing applications received prior that time. So all of this activity here of RSDO Section 36 is the only work that is being undertaken in the office. And also for your information, the issue of closing down has been turned down by the court, and we yet to hear from our authorities as to what will happen next. We are required to reopen that office at Port Elizabeth. But what we have been told was that the court has been petitioned in order to reiterate the position of the department on the matter. Just here, this is the staff profile. As far as we're concerned, Chair, Honorable Chair, or members, we feel here we're doing very well with women representation in the province at all levels, except at level 10, where we have more men than women. And also with disability, we believe that we could have done much better than that. The reason being, a number of our officials, they resist declaring themselves as belonging to that category of living with disability. Probably because they wouldn't want to be seen, you know, to be so-called disabled. We have a number of them. However, we do have, you know, means of trying to persuade them to declare themselves in that particular category. The social establishment in the province is a distance there. That 6-7, which remains vacant funded, in the next slide, we are explaining that question. It is there, that 6-7. These are the posts that were shortlisted, interviewed, and also staff assuming duty with effect from around June 2016. This is the continuation which is explaining the status of the vacant funding. Then permanent management issues here. At 2013-2014, we had 100% achievement around this, but with 2014-2015, there's one particular official there that has not complied well, where we are now applying disciplinary measures in addressing the failure too. I'll hand over to my colleague next to me, Chair, and then after that I will continue with the project in the program. Thanks very much.
Good morning, afternoon all. In terms of the budget, at the moment we're sitting at a total budget of 229 million, and our expenditure in total expenditure is at the end of 256 million, and commitments 1.7 million. Total percentage spent at the end of June is 25%, which is in line with linear projection. If we go drill down further, compensation of employees, we're sitting at 24.75%, goods and services 25%, households, which also looks to leave resignations, leave gratuities, people leaving, we're obviously over there. And then machinery and equipment, we're at 42.5%. In terms of payments within 30 days for 2014-15, we had a total of 1,800 invoices that we pay out of 1,820 invoices. One of these related to banking details that have to be updated. We obviously wait for head office to update both. The rest does have some problems. When it gets to a certain point in the system, we have a problem. And waiting for CISA to also rectify the problem usually falls over the 30 days. For 2015 ticketing, which is quarter one, we had 99.8%. We received a total of 501 invoices, and we paid 499 of those within the 30 days. The two also related to system problems, which are resolved beyond 30 days. In terms of revenue collection, that is the totals we've received from these regions in the province. Oshambo, 1.9 million. Matola, 2.9 million. Nafumandela, 4 million. And Joka, 1.2, which gives us a total of 10 million for the quarter. Okay. In terms of fleet management, the total number of vehicles within the province is 161 vehicles. 78 of those are departmental vehicles, 83 are chiefly vehicles, so down the east from the coming provincial department. The number of functional vehicles is 151, which is 100%. And then mobile offices, we've got 17, 9 of those are operational and 8 are non-operational. In terms of assets, we've got a total of 13,491 assets in the province. 58 of them are lease assets, as at the end of the last financial year, 281 assets were not verified. These are still being addressed, and we're currently awaiting reports from respective offices. There was 80 visitors convinced down local office large, where there were three findings. One asset was not found at the time, was later found when the AG left. One was scanned in the wrong location, and one of the photocopy machines were returned to the supplier. But at this time, we have not received the final audit opinion. So we've responded to those three findings, but we haven't received the final opinion as yet. This just explains that we are constantly doing asset verifications. We've also implemented checklists that are completed monthly in an attempt to get assets obviously up to scratch. Room inventories are updated as an asset verification is done, and with all new assets received, all sheets are completed and forwarded to the office. I'll hand back to Mr. McGill.
Thanks so much, Craig. Thanks to you, members of the chair. The employee relations cases are as they stand here. And, you know, corruption and fraud. Chair, when I came in here, you were making the reference to the fact that your province looks like it's a hub of a series in respect of fraud and corruption. Indeed, this is what I picked up when I got there. And this is just a tip of an iceberg, these issues that are raised here. The one that was recently appeared on TV at the happening at the Kingsland Town office. It's a case when I arrived in 2012 with many others, subs and hawks, crime intelligence and hawks, I've been working on for quite some time, and I was quite worried that it's taking a long, long time. Of course, we have good relations, you know, with these two security agencies in the building. They kept on lulling my concerns to say, no, we are really working on it. Now I think it's crunch time. There are many others as well that are to follow. And there are a number of other offices. The big ones are Caltrans, the big offices in the province. And there are a number of other cases as well that are under scrutiny and investigation. These are the counter-corruption unit investigations in our province. And these are the cases during the quarter. They are the ones actually who are working around the clock to make sure that we follow up on this. It's the good thing about it is that the very same foreign nationals that are eagerly wanting to access our enabling documents are the ones who are whistleblowing to the provincial manager against each other, because they are frustrating each other in terms of reaching out, you know, to the people who are facilitating, you know, the whole corruption and fraud in the area. I have a very good team there. Staff engagement. These are means by which we regularly engage ourselves through these kinds of meetings. staff development, we do have in the court, I will have the induction of one particular staff member, the diamond relief, 53 in 6 offices in the Buffalo City Metro and the Amatole District. Employee wellness, these are the activities that has taken place. The committee is quite active in handling all the issues that relate to wellness. The process that we're running in the province, we've just had we actually participated in the LRB MOPAP project where all other provinces have been engaged. Ours happened in the month of August. The basic objective is to ensure that the LRB is eradicated by end of December. To be quoted, the province has identified 211 late registration that hotspots. 14 mobiles from within the province and the neighboring provinces of the state and KwaZulu-Natal were deployed to cover areas within a period of 1 month. This one, we finished on Thursday, this will be a Thursday, with a loud fan of intensive media campaign, where we engage with public to Mkho Wenene, the Xhosa based radio station, and SAFM the whole day. And we're getting a great deal of feedback, you know, from the clients up there. The deployment of SMK was from the 11th to 28th August. In preparation for the massive outreach, the province has conducted 6 mini outreaches. The objective being that the issue of the late registration is quite a problem, so we should not rely on that big one that we've undertaken, and we continue anyway even after this big one, in order to make sure that by the end of the year we will be able to discontinue this very problematic issue. With better registration within 30 days and smart ID project, the province has identified challenges which affect its performance in both times, and has appointed 2 district managers and managers of operations, DMOs, to be the champions of both projects. Mr. Nuno, the other side of Mr. Sywin, is involved, is an ambassador for the smart ID card, and the other DMO is not here, is responsible for better registration. The focus is on enhancement of better registration at health facilities. Strategy is looking at optimal utilization of health facilities. Thus, the team's main objective is to ensure that health facilities with high birth rates are adequately resourced in order that children are registered before the mothers are discharged. Put monitoring measures to catch up, follow up on mothers who leave the health facilities without registering the child, either because of cultural beliefs or the mother did not bring the ID document when visiting the maternal clinic. Regarding smart ID card, all attention and the capability towards achieving the protected smart card target, and to identify all the possible faults which will hinder the achievement of the target, and to take measures to mitigate identified risks. This one, last but not least, Honorable Chair.
No, you don't go there. That is a dream. You're talking about a dream. You wanted the service delivered, not your delivery. Don't go to that one. That will come the day we deal with the strategic planning, the ADP, somewhere around March, April. Yes.
Well, let me go to achievements then.
I think, okay, if you have it anywhere, then it's fine.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yeah, and the stakeholder engagement, as I indicated previously, Chair, we having a highly functional stakeholder forums in almost all the districts in the province. We've had, as I indicated, many offices. Our time where Arpanzo is leading, because that's where the registration of birth cases are rife. We had about 9 has been doing very well. That's the sentiment to me, Mr. Munu. who is heading those two districts there. There was one in Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, and I think we need to encourage them to do more. There was one in Chisholm and so on. Generally speaking, there are good working relations with stakeholders, as Forum Reserve indicated, albeit maintenance of the same in some areas is still required. Establishment of a youth was launched by the Deputy Minister in June during the youth during years. It doubt out of it is the enhanced coordination of activities and improved balance between activities and service delivery requirements. Service delivery improvements have been noted with an action plan that the province has, which guides mobile visits to the identified areas, and also with challenges. Challenges being the smart ID card, as we had already indicated, the unstable hospital network infrastructure, and the outdated IT equipment. Our fleet saw aid and aging, and there was insufficient motor vehicles in the province, residing with high mileage. Most of our staff members always tell us, in trying to persuade us to prompt head office to change, they will tell us that they are actually driving, moving coffin. That is the extent to which these are quite scary when you're driving a farm of them. Office accommodation, that's another one. The two provinces have already indicated. Budgetary constraints, we have limited budgets, which leads to frustrated departmental objectives. Like immigration officers cannot realize their priorities due to limited overtime budget. The insufficient capacity, however, Treasury had allotted the department with a budget for increasing the number of immigration officials. The province has enjoyed about 17 of such immigration officials, the number of immigration officials, however. It's not enough. We remain and expect to have more in order to be able, to do the work that is required of us. The outsourced permitting services, the VFS, has now landed at our table. People, the provincial managers, the letters of good cause, where we're expected to issue permits at our offices, yet the provincial managers have no access to permitting system because of the track and trace facilities that have been taken away, from officials, simply because there was rife corruption and fraud around. Of course, we've already addressed the issue with head office that at least provincial managers should be provided with the track and trace facility. That's all, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Thanks very much.
Okay. I think while you are listening to Free State, when you are speaking about your fleet, it says 100% perfect functional. And your fleet report. Don't answer now. I'm saying it when the lady reported on the fleet, and then she reported a clean health on the fleet. And then on the challenges, then you are raising a question on the fleet. And then, and again, that it looks like your harbor. Is it Istanbul or what? It looks like they are very active, even more than the airport for immigration. There will be more people coming through the water, and also more people leaving through the water than the airports themselves. Unless if I'm not reading the report properly. And then if that is correct, there may be a little bit of a need to investigate why. Why that is happening. Why a lot of people, in thousands, that are coming through the harbor. that's through the airport. And then maybe if you can just have a look at that. I think let's re-emphasize the point that Honorable Hussein has indicated. If you don't deal with the question of connectivity and make sure also that the register fair within 30 days, that means after December 2015, we must still have late registration of FAM. Okay. That is a consequence. It's not that somebody's going to tell you to do. That will be a consequence. And therefore, I think in the Northern Cape, we heard that there was a form or something that left at the hospital. Over the weekend, and the nurses will feel that for those that have discharged over the weekend. And on Monday, when the officer of Home Affairs comes in and starts capturing to close up the care, then we just need to be innovative a little bit. But it is not understood, really, what is the serious problem. If we have diagnosed or identified the problem, and then we fail to actually solve it, it's something that needs to be looked at, and I think we need to give now Free State an opportunity to talk to us while you are actually dealing with your sick fleet and your highly active harbors and all assembled. And of course that maybe you need to give us some sort of proposal, or what is it that you are going to propose, especially with the force of ends where you have got a constable giving people permission to cross in and out. Because really that's a serious security risk. Serious security. And I hope that you are ready, Mr. Maegis.
I am Chair. Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon to the members of the Portfolio Committee and to yourself, Chair, and to the staff members that are here. The Free State will present the status quo, and we really use the statistics from April the 1st up to July this year. To report on. Just quickly, maybe I must just pass all this and get to the introduction and background. The Free State is accounting to 6% of the population of the country. We have 5 district municipality, 1 metro. We launched stakeholder forums in the province, all local and district municipalities, which are quite helpful in us running our programs in the province, to understand that some of the elderly people are being transported by some of the municipalities to assist us to get their smart cards. And monitoring and evaluation of departmental performance relating to DHA is at the center of service delivery improvement plan. The department in the province is operating in terms of the minister's outcomes. Now, we are targeting all rural areas to end the late registration of birth. I think this is very important. Maybe I should just pass this part, yeah, and go to this one. We have 4 districts and 1 metro, but we, in terms of the establishment, we've got only 3 DMOs, district directors. And 2 of them are women, and 1 is a male. And 2 of the districts are not having funds, therefore we don't have a person running. But what we do, the director from Mangaung is also in charge for Harib district, and the director for Lindwelibutwa is also in charge for Fezilirabi. So yes, the director has got 2 districts that they are managing. In essence, if you look at this, this is our the footprint as it was, as it is. If you look at, we have three big offices. The large offices, you see the large offices and the small offices are all the red hard there. But what we really need, as a province, we need this situation where we need to have 5 large offices in each of the districts, and then the small offices. Now we planned, if you see the yellow, the green hat, is where we plan offices. If you look at Tukulova, in that area, Tukulova has got no office at all, and it's a local municipality. There's no office at all. And it's worrying because that area needs our... We believe if we were to do justice to our people in the province...
Are we having 2 different presentations? One that you gave us, or the one in a signature hub, and the one that is soft? Are they different?
No, they know.
I can't see green hearts on my document. On the screen, I can see the green hearts. It's on the next page.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. The green there is showing where we don't have an office and we intend to have an office. And it's a local municipality. If you look at Tukulova and Tetuani, those 2 local municipalities do not have access. People don't have access to our offices. And then it means we serve them using mobile, going there now and then. So it's for us to be really accessible to the public. Those places need to be closed down. We need to have offices. It was part. When you see Red Hat, it's where we have offices. And what I just demonstrated now is in terms of this. If you look at Harib, we have 5 offices and 3 hospitals. If you look at Mangaung, we have 4 offices and 9 hospitals, and so on, with the populations that are there. I need to go to the service, the birth registration. This is very important for us. What we have done as a province, and you will see, if you look at, we've just shown 2015, 2016, and 2014, and 2015. The stats, if you look at the stats, how we've improved. You would see that this side we've improved in this, because what we have done, the minute we started to modernize some of the offices, when you modernize, there are some people that don't have a job anymore. For instance, people were taking application manually. Then once they finish, they must give somebody to check and package and so on. So now the back office reduces the number of people. What we've done, we've taken people that have been reduced by the back office and sent to the hospitals to increase the number of people in hospitals and increase the numbers of birth registration in hospitals. Our target is 3,709, and you can see in April alone, 4,100, 3,800, 4,000. The numbers are very high because we've moved some of the people to the hospital to say, sit in the hospital and make sure we increase the number of beds in hospitals. It works in a way, but we still have that challenge of over the weekends where people are leaving. But what we also have done as a province, over the weekends, we ask the nurses to write the names of the people that have been in the hospital and their addresses and their cell phone numbers. So that on Monday when we get there, we are able to call them and say, you are here, we want to register your child. How can we get hold of you? When are you coming to the hospital again? Because the hospital tells us in a week's time the people must come back again to check as well. So then we check on that, how can we get them as they come back again to the hospital. So it's really working. We do have a shortage. We've got 27 hospitals, and I think 19 of them we have staff that are in those hospitals that we took from the major big offices to go to the hospital now that some of your work has been redundant because of the automation. You would see that we are, in terms of the target, we've overachieved. However, we will show the next slide that there are people that we're missing out on. There are some of the people that we're missing out. 2015, 2016. The green there is the statistics for this financial year, showing that we're really moving at a high speed when we were very low last year. And here is the ones that are people that we miss with the day, 31 days and above, which we are worried about. These are the people that we say we should be looking at how do we get them. so that we get them into the 30 days instead of the 30 days and above. So it's only 1 month that we went below the number, and it's July. Here we brought in this slide just to show in terms of the underpaid birth certificate. There's a huge outcry about this underpaid birth certificate. People are saying we need to travel and we don't have we need this underpaid birth certificate. We've observed that in our province that 60% of those applications underpaid, we get them within 3 weeks instead of the 6 weeks. So it means there's a good return back from office to be able to give the birth certificate. But we still have some of them that take a bit longer. And if you see this 241, is those ones that takes too long. And as they take too long, we have now given equivalent letter for people to be able to travel with the children. The next one is the legal education of birth. We had a high impact outreach program in the province. All provinces send their trucks to our province. We went to the 5 districts for 5 days, going to all the rural areas, try to get this late registration of it from all these areas. And the reason for us to do this was to make sure that by end of December this year, we've gone to every corner of the province. And we had something like 15 trucks in the province in different areas for a whole week, trying to go into the rural areas, the farms, to let the people know that we are here to get the registration of the people that are above 15, the labor registration of birth, so that we are able to close down the problem. It worked very well for us. The numbers were very high, and these are the numbers that we got from the whole 5 districts that we are having in the province. Yes. Yes.
What makes it to be long? I'm not explaining.
Yes.
What are the examples of the things that make it to be long on the 241?
Yes. The 241 is equivalent letters. When we say 60% of the applications, we get them in 3 weeks. The rest goes beyond, below, go to 6 weeks. But there are some of them. These 241 would be those who went just above the 6 weeks. And now that the people are standing there saying we've been waiting for this, we need this unapproved certificate. And we have to give this letter. Because now it's the fault is on our side that we are not... Yeah, remember the issue of this unapproved certificate is a back office issue. In other words, we sent the application to head office to say, can we get this unapproved certificate? Then they are processing in the back office. It takes long for them to get us an unabridged pair. And when they struggle, and they say the reason for this, they say, is that they need to get information, the data from the filing systems in some way in Perth. And it takes long to get that information for us to be able to give that unabridged certificate. Yes. Then, this is the late registration of that. Then here we're talking smart ID card. We are achieving our smart ID card fortunately. We're getting a lot of people coming for the smart ID card. And for these 4 months, we've done more than what we did in the past years. If you look at what we did last year, it's 29,000, and this year is 38,000 that we are doing. We actually do much better than the previous year, and we are achieving the goals as per our targets. If you look at, we just took that information and put it into a graph just to show. These are first issues. The first issues in 2015, 2016 are higher than in 2014 and so on. It means we are really doing well in terms of first issues. Here are reissues. The difference is not so high except for this part. But as a province itself, in terms of smart card, we are doing very well. These are the green ID books. If you look at the green ID books for this year, the number has reduced very drastically compared to last year. It's because most of the people are now applying for the smart card more than the green ID book. And we also encourage people to apply for the smart card, because if we want in the next 6 years to have every South African having a smart card, we must start already now to educate the people to apply for the smart card instead of giving them the green ID book. At the point, we need to stop giving the green ID book total. But because of the ruralness of some areas, we still give the green ID book. And I just here showing in terms of the numbers previous year, this year, the rate is last year, the blue is this year. Duplicate cases, I think this is a problem all the time, but what is happening is at least we are able to handle some of them. If you look at the numbers there, there's still 66 of them, they're not yet finalized. And I'm reason to say these duplicate cases are created sometimes. People, we have a case recently of twins who the eldest twin brother went to apply for an ID before the younger one. They are twins, the younger one. So he went to apply first, but because he was, no, he's a bit older, 18, the other one is about 16, they are brothers. This one of 18 applied on the space of the 16 with a birth certificate of the 16-year-old because he's playing soccer. He wanted to remain younger. When the other one came to apply, the owner of the 16-year-old now must apply. There was now this duplicate. How we must start working on trying to resolve this duplicate. This one must come and write statements and say, I made a mistake and so on. So these are the things that sometimes create this duplicate. Sometimes the people themselves are creating this problem by doing it. Sorry. And then this is all about the passports, the number of passports, high numbers of passports, especially the child passport. We just see them increasing in the province. Going to immigration, these are in the ports of entries, the numbers in the ports of entries. As you can see, Fixburg alone for the past 4 months has already cleared a million people crossing there, and Maseru, 1 million. These are people crossing daily there. And this is why the borders of Fixburg and Maseru, there is a drive by the department to really get them to have a trusted traveler program where people would use their biometric cross, because that borders remain busy. People come in and buy and go back into the Sotho and in back again. One person could go three times in and out because he's buying in Lady Brand and go and sell in the Sotho and come back. So it is a problem. Every time they have to go to there, you have to scan and stamp them, and they really have a lot of complaints about that. These are the immigration inspector rate, successful prosecution of employers, pair office in the province where we have the inspectorate, transgressors, pair office prosecuted, and here we have illegal foreigners overseas detected, and most of them is from Lesotho, the majority is from Lesotho. Direct deportation and deportation to Lindela, people that we sent to Lindela, and cases that are sent to inspectorate for investigation. These are the stats in terms for the past 4 months. I must say the numbers are very high, but also the numbers are created by this project here, where a lot of people are arrested by the police and our immigration officers. These numbers, you know, in a normal month, these numbers would be not so high. Here we just show a look and feel of an office in the province outreach programs. There we had the ministerial in Bido, a lot of people coming, and late registration of birth was the order of the day. Here is the staff profile. If you look at level 13 females, we have 3 of them and 1 male. So the issue of really dealing with that is at a high level is good. However, if you look at level 6, you will see there's a lot of female at a lower level. This is an establishment. We have 546 filled posts. Out of the establishment, there's about 592 funded posts. The 592 is funded. The 707 is not, some of them are not funded, like the ones that you saw of GMOs in those districts. They are not funded. These that are funded, and we have 33 that we for immigration, and most of them started today of the immigration that we got, and they support three that gives us 36. So the establishment is at 94%. In terms of performance management, PNDS for 2014-15, 100% conducted. 2015-16, June, September, but 100% expected. Performance agreements, only three people have not got a performance agreement. And the reason for that is they were incapacity. They are sick and they could not really sign the agreement. In terms of training, these are the numbers for diamond release. We train up about 178 people, employees, for the past 4 months on some of these things, and approved birth certificates, new regulations for people traveling with minors, so that the people have got an understanding, port of entry skills, national certificate. These are the people, DHA induction for the new employees. These are the numbers. We have the staff interaction in those top management in the provinces, fortnightly provincial management meetings on a monthly basis as well. These are just the engagement with employee wellness, occupational health, safety. Audit has been done in 14 offices just to check whether the offices are really meeting the standard. Employee wellness, one counseling intervention. We have two pillar cases. Now, pillar is people who are sick for a long time and has not have any leave anymore. But they are sick, they are out there, and they are still in the establishment. We have two cases here. And I must say, I don't know how the process works there, but I think what is worrying me, some of these people are sick for about 4 years, 3 years. And every time you write and say, can this person not be given sick pension, because the position itself is needed. Nobody is doing the work while he's so sick for so long. So it is a worrying, but I think because it's a process that has involvement of doctors who make the determination whether this person could be so on. I think that's why it lays so long. Then we had a men's health awareness workshop, and the last part is all about the company has been contracted to render employees wellness services. Two referrals have been sent to a private company that deals with psychological issues with employees. Yeah, the finance part of it. I must say, if you look at goods and services for the Free State province, we've already spent 60% in 4 months. And the reason, and I will explain the reasons. We every year get less and less. Last year, I think we spent something like 17 million. But this year, we got 9 million. And I think this is where we have a problem. But every quarter, like now, we've already sent a pressure document to the CFO to say, this money will not last. And I will explain why this happened. We should be at 33%, we are at 60. And the reason here is we got new 17 new vehicles. And these vehicles must operate and they must be paid for and they must travel. These vehicles are there and they are for inspectors and immigration. But we didn't get a budget to service them, to maintain them and so on. So it means we spend, now we pay for them every month, but we didn't get the budget for it, and the cars are there. So I think this is why we are at 60% when we should be at 33%. We already spent for these cars that we got that are new. We have 44% of our fleet, they are above 160,000 kilometers, and they are aging. So surely the expenditure also increase when they are aging, and they are breaking and you repair them now and then. We've given to the CFO a request of 7 million because that amount will not work. We've already sent the present document because it puts us really at a back foot in terms of that part. payment of invoices with 30 days. And I've seen the other provinces are doing quite well. We have a problem of, we had 408 invoices, 400 were paid within 30 days. These 30 days, older than 30 days, older than 60 days, older than 90 days. These were done, and I went down to check what causes this, why these people were not paid in time. So unfortunately we didn't have a finance director from October last year up to now. The finance director was just appointed now, will start now working. So we had a level 10 or a level 12, a deputy director running the section. And when I start asking him, why didn't you pay? System error, the system had an error. They captured the date 9/11, which to them they say, then the system says is 9/11, is 9/11, and in the reverse it could be, it should be the 11th of the 9, something like that. So the explanation I got there was not really very satisfying. But what we did when we got this, we started to put a dashboard up. We set up a dashboard that on a weekly basis we will monitor all these things. We will monitor every week how many of those invoices are there and how long are they being there, when are they going to be paid, so that we can monitor. Some of the invoices, one of the invoices, this one, was a negligency of the official that deals with the invoices, putting the invoices somewhere where it couldn't get it. And looking for the invoice, and until the client is complaining, only then they found this thing. But this person was given a written warning to say you can't be working like this. The client is not able. But this is GPW. This is the government that he works. In terms of the assets, I think there is a bit of an increase on the minor assets. We had 11,143, now we've got 11,192. Minor increase on that, and it's because we these are the chairs we procured, printers, and we went to get some old chairs from head office because we needed the assets. In terms of the fleet, we have 91 vehicles. 5 of them were involved in accident. 2 written off and 3 are being repaired. 10 of them are mobiles. Now here, very important, the mobiles, 4 of them are functional and 6 are not functional. But I must explain this part. We got now a service provider in the province who are able to deal with this. They repair this thing this week, next week it's broken again. So we must call them again. So when we did this report, 6 of them were with them, they are being repairing. And as we see, we called this morning to find out that they're working. Out of that 6, 4 is working. So there's more working today. So the service provider, they sometimes do very shoddy work. They repair today, in the next time the thing is back to that stage again. So I think that is the reason why when we reported we showed these numbers. In counter-corruption, we had these cases. This one, this is a case coming from last year. But this case is like cold now. Not really cold, but it's a cold case because it's counter-corruption is dealing with it. The complainant is gone overseas. Now they can't go on with the case until he comes and gives feedback. But the case is with them, they're still looking at it. Then we have these 13 cases under investigation. Out of that, 13, these 3 is part of those 13. One official is arrested in jail, as you speak, but awaiting a hearing in the department. These two cases are project driven, both the counter-corruption in my province with the ops and the police, they are dealing with that. These three has been finalized already. I just wanted to show you here that these cases are from last year. This official is dismissed, but there's still a criminal case that is setting this part. these eight officials were dismissed also, but all of these officials, this one is in Bethlehem, this in the border, in the Bengal school border, and they were arrested with police. Eight of Umatwa's officials and nine police officials with corruption, but these officials have been dismissed in the department. With the police, they're working together. These are cases that are with the labor relations, six of them. Vetting. This is very important for us to vet all our officials. We've got 556 people. Only 96 of them have been cleared in terms of the vetting. And 61 are still pending there with state security. We have just taken up, the guy that deals with vetting has just taken up vetting. But I think this is very slow for us in terms of getting those numbers to be vetted. We've just spoken to SSA to say, can they give us an extra person to assist the one person we have to vet most of our people. But the senior people, they are there, all of them, most of the senior people has been vetted. It's most of this lower level that has not been vetted. Security, we have outsourced security for most of our office. 21 offices are for security, but outsourced. This has been planned from the office, but we have one person in the province who deals with security that works for the department. Cash in transit, we also have a agility that's doing that for us, for nine offices, because the money, we deserve to have that. It's a risk to take the money because it's a big amount. Haji.
Okay. I think you can stop there. The achievements can be read.
Yeah.
Honorable members, I think we have got very little time now. So in 10 minutes, we will be called in the house. And then the issue of the long sitting of 4 years, I think we'll pursue that with everything. And then the issue of sending 60% when you're supposed to be around 83%, I think we'll pursue it there, because really you are not tightening your belt. You are not, you are misbehaving from the past. You are misbehaving. Doesn't matter whether for good reason, but you are misbehaving because In no time before the end of the year, we'll be having no funds. You'll have to close all this. The best thing is that you must tighten your belt. And then you must be able to operate within what you have. And then having a good reason to go on a spending spree is not good enough. No financial discipline. That's what is required. And then, otherwise, the department will be out of funds 4 months before the end of financial year, and that won't go to anybody. No way. And then, honorable members, now let me start from the other side now. Honorable Nancy, fine. Honorable Gumega, you're fine.
No, for one person, sir.
Okay, can somebody can help with Artist Nancy to actually try the one? Yeah. So for both predated and instant paper.
Why not?
Yeah.
In fact, we have very short. The first one, I know unfortunately for the incentive concern there, Parapat money and natural, but in the same thing, and I know what it's going on. Now my question is, what is because this Magulu Makulu is saying when I came there? Remember when you were talking, when I came there, they are praying to me. Now, I'm not sure whether he's from contact with the department or he's from outside the department, and now he still not see himself a part of the quality. That's only one clarity, but I wonder. I was asking him, say, Honorable Gomez, is this the way I'm hearing it or what is wrong? I just want to hear it or not. But now the three things on this side, I they confused me if they were back in town to go to. They were saying they are thin, this kid, the other one is this kid, the other one is this kid. And the story now spoke and something, and then I said, hey, there's a lot that is not coming together. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe when they're writing down, they can help and clarify us. That's all what I wanted to try. There's a lot, but that's now if I can just clarify on this.
No, it's fine. I think someone can ask you to switch off the mic. Although when that guru was attacked, and then I thought that I heard that it was him, brother. And then by all of a sudden, one is 18, one is 16. So then it creates a problem. Not a problem.
No, I
if it's possible, can we go to the maximum of 3 questions? If any of the 3 questions that anybody can ask the questions before we go there.
No, in fact, I just want to emphasize one thing and thank the department on the department in 2 provinces on trying to meet the 30 days for payment of invoices. I think it assists in the regarding of unemployment, poverty and inequality, and particularly addresses the issue of small businesses. I think it is important. The other one is also important, but I just wanted to emphasize.
Yes,
all
and the other issue is the issue of Amwaris, because we are not complying with the statistics of the situation. So how can we be able to assist in that regard? Because we cannot say this and after that we are not complying.
I just want to make one or two observations and just say this and I've got a lengthy question. I think that this was for me a very interesting exercise because actually what it does is that it makes me realize, and I say this with the greatest respect, that when the senior management of Home Affairs Additional and Head Office didn't come in this year, they give us very fancy stories. But when we get the feedback from the provincial managers, the reality on the ground is different. I'll give you one example. You know, the DD himself comes in this year with the Deputy Director General and say, unagreed birth certificates, no problem. Mm-hmm. We can issue now over the counter. What stories? We get very fancy stories here. I hear that it's still taking 3 weeks, and we know that's the reality. I raised it here in the meeting previously, said, no, everything is fine. But actually, in reality, it's not fine. So, my own view, Chair, is that I think that there is a serious problem with the management at a much more senior level. Because I get the impression that the department implements new systems without determining whether the provinces have the capacity and capability to deliver on these. And then the reality is that the clients on the ground get frustrated because you don't have the facility to be able to deliver on it. A good example is the birth registration thing in the hospital. Launched in March 2013, up until today, two years later, we still don't have a fully functional system, we don't have the capacity, we don't have the human resources, the warm bodies to work there, we have a connectivity problem. The same with the mobile officer. I mean, almost every single provincial manager we spoke today, not one can tell you that 100% of these mobile offices are fully operational. Again, another example, the department introduced the system, but it isn't the capacity to manage anything. I'll give you another 6 examples that are actually thought about else in this year. So, for me, it's very clear that, I mean, the next time around we have an interaction with the Director General and the DDGs, these are questions that we must put to them because we're not getting the kind of feedback from the provincial manager that corroborates the story that the Director Generals and the DDGs tell us. So I'm getting a completely different story altogether. So 2 questions, Chair, is related to what I've raised, is what exactly is the problem with these mobile offices? Is it also connectivity problems? In both cases, in all 4 provinces, not one of them is saying 100% of it is free operation. Chair, forgive me. The other one is, I also found the record comment. Excuse me, it's the Eastern Cape, I think Gauteng also mentioned it earlier, that there are challenges with deportees being sent to Lingala within the PSG. That's not it. It's a very serious one. You could drink all chair. the number, the increasing number of court orders against the department because they go over the period, maximum period of 90 days without any legislation, which also now cost the department a lot of money because they lose those cases. So it's the problem is not at the provincial level, but at the national level we end up having to pay an enormous amount of money in court cases because we are unable to send people to the Mbela in time. The sooner you can get them there, the sooner Mbela can come off. But if you then send them 45 days, which means at least fewer days for Mbela to be able to process them, I'd just like to understand what the problem is around this thing.
Okay. I think from Free State, because of the numbers that you are supporting that to suit, sometimes you must see them and make them costing. How much it costs you to send this to whether per month or per quarter or per year. Whatever it, you can be able to and then relay that information to others. And then just for us to have it, please. Can we then have you also trying to answer two of the most difficult questions that you have had, both provinces, two of the big ones. Who is ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Especially the question that you're speaking as if you are not part of Home Affairs.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
It's a difficult one.
It is, Honorable Chair. Honorable Member, no, the question is that it will bring about the age of the problem. And that as well, I may not be that long in that in my problem. And to signify that the stumbling over the issue has been there even before I was there, but picked it up at a crucial time when I had to refuse some kind of a cooperation with the stakeholders, particularly of the security agents. I think that was merely to signify that. That to say I'm not part of the collective in the problem. Just to ensure that also, because of that operation that you are receiving, there are others that may not have been apprehended through the means of what you have just done recently. Others are resigning in big numbers. In Mtaka, for instance, where Mr. Muno is presiding over, recently there have been seven resignations because people could feel that the net is closing down. With the one you have recently seen on TV, one particular guy who was at the petty office doing it in big numbers, he picked it up in a grapevine that the net is closing. He also resigned, but we have been reassured that they are going to catch up with him despite the resignation. Caretaker in the province, Honorable Chair, it's clear this DMO have been appointed for one district, one DMO to one district. But because the complement is not yet there, it's not forthcoming, this is a temporary arrangement to make sure that service delivery is not adversely affected. As to when it's going to be collected, we are not sure. The minister was recently in the province. He got so concerned as well. And I think in the same way, I had to present to the minister that I found, not that I was not part of the collective, Honorable Chair, I found this arrangement in place where you have this caretaker arrangement because they know required complement of the DMO required in the post. The minister took away quite a number of other issues that relate to posts that are unfunded, that sometimes disappear. He took all of that as a package to head office. We yet to hear from the minister what that arrangement may transpire, in favor of the province. Thanks, sir.
Chair, just to respond on the twin fee. It's brothers. I took it that the other one thought he's the younger brother, the other thought he's the big brother. But it's brothers. The last thing is, most of the time, the problem with trucks, mobiles, is the connectivity. That you get that satellite dish sometimes open half, suddenly tomorrow it opens right, the other day it doesn't want to open, and you will, and you might move the truck from this point to that point to check whether it will take that point, you move it around, until sometimes it works, sometimes it won't work. I think it's connectivity as the problem.
Okay. Now, I need to thank you, all of you. I'm sorry to see the red light on the screen. And then that says that we have gone over time. And we are wanted somewhere else.
And I need to thank all the delegations. I think you have jotted down some of the questions. And I just hope that they will send even some of the questions that they have asked from other provinces. They'll send them to you, and then you must respond to them in relation to your own work in the provinces, and make sure that those reports come back to the secretary, and so that you are able to go our way. Now, thank you very much for having managed to come here, and we really do appreciate. I think you must leave here knowing exactly that we did not call them here for purpose of assessing their senior leadership. We just called them here to empower us to be able to engage as senior leaders when it comes here. Not necessarily to assess their performance. Not necessarily that. Now, thank you very much. Honorable members, I think from your side, there is a petition that we received some time back, but I think that petition it's been cut. That petition was a 2014 September petition that was speaking to the immigration regulation, requesting for the suspension of the immigration regulation for 12 months. But of course, that on the 1st of October last year, 2014, then there was that suspension until to June 1st this year. And also, of course, is that a lot of things have happened. The Interministerial Committee has been established to actually look at the immigration regulations, the unintended consequences that may arise. And then we have this petition, then we just have to respond back on it. I really don't know what we're going to do with it, because it's actually time. It has been overtaken by events. And also, of course, it did achieve whatever it wanted to achieve, through the interaction with the stakeholders, that an agreement to actually postpone some of this immigration regulation to this year, June, was actually honorable to say.
Okay, I'll help you, and I think we can find a quick solution. The thing is, you have to process the petition, because it's coming, as I understand, from the table. But the request of the petition was to suspend a number of requirements on the immigration rate. And not all of them were suspended, only some of them were. Mm-hmm. So what I suggest, if there is broad agreement with the committee, that we simply just recommend that the suggestions put in that petition be forwarded to the Interministerial Committee for consideration. And you know, we've processed it to all of Parliament, and then it goes to the Interministerial Committee, they can consider it. And because a lot of the stuff that's in there is not new. I mean, the stuff that's already been in the public domain, there have been a number of considerations. I made a number of considerations as one of the commission. So there's nothing that's new to us. And perhaps to finish off the process in Parliament is for us, for you as the chair, to just simply report back to Parliament and say we want to go and recommend that the Interministerial Committee consider the petition.
Okay,
thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. That is going to be our proposal, because the Interministerial Commission is at a high level, at the presidential level already. Yes.
Okay. Are we all in agreement that we forward this petition to the IRC and then for consideration? Agreed? Thank you very much, Honourable Member. If that will be the case, let us go and debate the motion of the DA.
Yes, sir. About what you